First, we begin in downtown Fresno, where thousands gathered this past weekend for a festival to mark the reopening of six blocks of Fulton Street that once made up the pedestrian-only Fulton Mall. The multi-million dollar reconstruction project was one of the most controversial in recent memory locally, with critics on all sides, some saying it won't help revitalize the area. At the same time, others saying it will drive away the existing businesses that cater to the largely Latino shoppers who never left downtown. On today's show, we're going to hear from the voices of the community, their hopes and fears about the project and the road ahead. The mood, though, on Saturday was entirely different, one largely positive. Our reporter Jeffrey Hess was on hand for the big event. Jeffrey, what was the scene like for the big ribbon cutting?
It was a big party. It was really, really great. I talk to people about this line of work a lot, and one of the things we get to do is we get to go and see pretty cool things, and it's nice to come back and objectively say people were very optimistic. I saw black people, Hispanic people, white people, people who were wealthy, people who were poor. It seemed like everyone had some level of interest in taking a look at this, at the new street. It really is a seismic change in how downtown looks and feels. So the event on Saturday was really fun. I took my wife. I saw lots of families there. It was very, very cool time.
And I think that's one thing that many agree on, whether they like it or not, that this is a big turning point for the city. One other thing that a lot of people agreed on is that this is the start of a lot of potential change in the future. A lot of the people we talked to and we're going to hear on our program today echo that from a variety of different perspectives. But not everyone was happy to see this project start. In fact, there was a group that sued the city of mall preservationists. You spoke with one of them, Joyce Aiken. Tell us about her and what she felt.
She's an artist. She did the ceramic benches that you'll see that have been restored and moved to the new part of the mall. She was a strong advocate for keeping the mall in place. But now that she has lost that fight, she's hoping that the city will just make sure that they do the best to preserve works like hers.
I don't know how the citizens would have reacted if they hadn't brought the art back. There was so much pressure on them to be sure and bring it back, and bring it back in good condition, and they did. They brought it back, they put it in, they have it in really good condition. I'm saying life goes on, and I think that what they did with the art and what they did with the landscaping, not what they did with the street. I don't know that the street, but there's a lot of cars going down this street now. And so it will be a challenge, I think, for the city to, or the downtown partnership, to fill these empty buildings. I wouldn't want the downtown to fail, but I'm just really concerned about whether they're going to get the people down here for the right reasons.
What do you think the next 50 years are going to look like? What does the city need to do to prevent a repeat?
First of all, they need to be sure that they keep the art in good condition. When you have something that isn't kept up, then that's when your destruction comes, with graffiti, with trash being thrown around. We don't want the mall to go back to the way it was just before they put a street in, which was really awful. But even at this, I think we need to be really vigilant about keeping the, if it's going to be a jewel, it needs to be kept really nice.
Fresno artist Joyce Aiken, who was one of the original artists in the 1964 version of Fulton Mall, now commenting on it today. Jeffrey, you also spoke with other people influential in Fresno. Terrence Frazier, one of them. He has a plan to build a number of different housing and mixed-use developments right around the area, including one that's supposed to break ground next year at Fulton and Inyo. What did he tell you?
He's one of the people who is looking at this as a starting point, not an end point. Which is, if it's going to work out in this way, and if it's going to bring success to downtown Fresno, he's saying we need to be ready for it, that Fresno should be ready to succeed. So I took his temperature a little bit, which is how developers are looking at the new street construction project.
What's next? Okay, now the streets are open. What's our next agenda? And I think that's where we are today, trying to figure out our next agenda. I know, in my perspective, I think we need to focus more on housing. We already have people that want to live downtown. We have, a couple hundred thousand people that work down here. And first, you got to bring the rooftops. Once you bring the rooftops, then the retail will follow it. So I think we have, as a city, we have to start more forward thinking and go, hey, we need to have some affordable units down here just in case this thing does blow up and it goes big like they're saying. You have to plan for success. You can't go, well, okay, we're going to do all this stuff. We're going to do all these great things. We're going to incentivize developers. We're going to give you money to build this and that. And then go, but we're not going to plan for it to grow. That don't make sense to me. I'm saying if you're going to do A, B, and C, then this is going to cause this growth. So if this is going to cause this growth, you better fix the problem, or you're going to come back and go, well, we'll take care of it after it happens. That don't make sense to me. I think if you're going to be a city and you're going to be you're the fifth largest city in California, you got to think 5, 10, 15 years ahead of growth. And I think that's the most important part. I think if the city or the state is going to put any kind of money into to fuel our economy, to fuel development, I think a portion of that should be set aside for a housing, affordable housing component. I think you need to have that.
Again, that's local housing developer Terrence Frazier speaking with Jeffrey Hess with Valley Public Radio about his vision for what's next on Fulton Street. He alluded to a concern that many in the community have brought up. What happens if this really does take off, if demand does spike with the new street and new shops that come in, and also housing forcing out those who are already there? I understand that that's not a unique concern.
Right, and you alluded to it in your opening. The Fulton Mall has long been referred to as dead, which is not exactly the most accurate way of...
Yeah, not true at all.
No, it's not true at all. There was very much still a lot of activity down there, and the people who have been working with the folks who run the stores and who shop down there are really thinking about how they can carve out a new future for those folks within the new street. So I spoke with Ashley Warner. She's with the Leadership Council for Justice and Accountability here in town. They do a lot of work in low-income communities, making sure that their interests are still represented.
Well, first and foremost, I think I want to say that, you know, we think it is critical, and we support the city's focus and investment in downtown, and that for decades this investment has been lacking, and so this is a really positive step forward. But I think the big concerns that we have is that, first and foremost, the development of the mall and the vision of it really comes from the people who have lived down here for decades, who have use the mall, who have owned small businesses on it, and who really have their future invested in it, and that that vision is being created by them, and that the city is helping support moving that vision forward. How do you do that? Is first and foremost, you know, you maintain a deep commitment in the city to an open, inclusive process that is really reaching out proactively to the people who have lived in and occupied the space for decades and for generations. And so that really means a change in culture at City Hall that is first and foremost about listening to the people that are here existing. And then I think the second part to that question is really ensuring that we have in place the policies and investments to ensure that the people who live here, who have small businesses and use these spaces can continue that.
Local activist Ashley Warner talking with Jeffrey Hess about issues of gentrification and helping to retain the existing businesses that are there on Fulton Street to this day. Mayor Brand actually alluded to some of that in his speech. We'll see if the City Hall actually follows up on that. Speaking of existing business owners, we sent our Kerry Klein out to talk to many of them, existing business owners and maybe even future business owners as well. Kerry, you started out with one gentleman whose family has been on the mall for three decades now. Tell us about Raul de Alba.
Yeah, that's right. So, he began his business in 1989, but then he and his siblings actually own a handful of businesses, at least four of them down there on the Fulton Mall, and he's pretty excited about it. He was not entirely sure in the beginning this was going to be a great idea, but he's really optimistic about it.
Let's go ahead and hear Raul de Alba, Fulton Mall business owner with Jalisco Jewelers, and also the Los Panchos restaurant owned by his family, and De Alba Travel and Passions Boutique. He was one of the only and was the only speaker on the podium on Saturday to actually utter words in Spanish, which I think was significant, and that a vast majority of the businesses on the Fulton Mall cater to Spanish-speaking customers presently. Let's hear Raul de Alba.
My name is Raul de Alba. I'm one of the owners of Jalisco Jewelers here on the new Fulton Street. My sister next door has the travel agency, De Alba Travel. Then my brother next to De Alba Travel is Los Panchos Restaurant. And then next to Los Panchos, my sister has Passions Boutique. We used to live in Stockton, our family. So when we came to Fresno, we immediately fell in love with downtown, the historic buildings, the atmosphere, the environment of downtown. It's different from a shopping mall. We've seen the ups and downs of the Fulton Mall. Well, I remember when JCPenney was here and Gottschalk's, and then they moved. So the Fulton Mall needed a change, I think. We needed to have something different. So hopefully new investment will come, new businesses will come. At first, I'll be honest with you, at first, some years back, I didn't like the idea. I thought maybe, well, let's just fix it and clean it up and have a nice walking mall like it used to be. But then when I learned about the facts of how other places like the Fulton Mall opened and how they did better, I mean, there were like 200 malls like Fulton Mall. Almost all of them opened and did better, so why not us?
We're talking about that anxiety over the future of what's next on Fulton Street. That was a Fulton Street business owner, Raul de Alba. A lot of people wonder whether existing businesses can be retained, if new ones come in, and what is the tension there? You spoke to a number of business owners, Carrie. Who else did we hear from?
Yeah, I spoke with a number of business owners, and almost universally, they're positive and excited, which I was actually really, which I was really surprised about. But you know, so this next business owner that I spoke with that we're going to hear from, her name is Desiree Washington, and she's one of the newer ones on the Fulton Mall, or on Fulton Street now. She built her first business knowing that. Knowing that this construction was going to be happening. And, and she's actually got another business coming up in the near future as well. And she's just really excited about all of this.
Great. Let's hear from Desiree Washington now here on Valley Edition.
I'm Desiree Washington. I'm the co-owner of Take Three and the founder of Dee's House of Coffee and Cider. Take Three opened in October of 2014, so we just celebrated a three-year anniversary. It was before the construction started. It was before the fences even went up. And then maybe 6 months later, they started kind of fencing stuff off and preparing for the construction.
What led you to open your business here on the Fulton Mall?
Well, we knew that the street was going to be opening. And then also we just were from Fresno. And so it's important to us to see this area grow. And so we were always in support of kind of the movement and revitalization efforts that were happening down here already before we came. As much as I loved the walking mall and I loved the events that we were able to do here and attend, I knew that something new was going to bring a new movement down here and new people down here who were tired of the same old walking mall that no one was coming to. I think all we need is business down here, and then we have a legitimate downtown that people want to come down here and hang out. And then they're already hanging out. It just looks better. The feel is better with the street being open. We're way more accessible, so I'm extremely excited.
And you also spoke with another mall business owner as well, Jesus Diaz. What was his perspective?
Yeah, he was a little bit, maybe slightly more skeptical. He just really isn't sure what's going to be happening, but he's also really hopeful. I mean, he's another business who he's been around a little bit longer than Desiree Washington's Take Three. You know, he's been there a little bit longer on the mall before this redevelopment was planned. So he wasn't quite sure how to take it. He's seen some businesses close, but let's hear from him about his perspective on the future.
My name is Jesus Diaz. I'm owner of Casa Latina, Minimart. I'm on the store for almost 6 years. We sell like statues, like you see. We have candles. We have a little bit of groceries, oils, incense, drinks. I'm waiting to open the street, and I think it's going to be good. I've been struggling for the last 3-4 months, and I hope this is a good idea, and I hope everything's better for us.
Do you think this is a good thing in general, not just for your business, but for the whole street? Do you think it's going to be better because it's more open?
I'm not sure about that, but I'm hoping. I'm hoping. That's what everybody, you know, that's what I'm waiting for. You know, everybody's waiting for better business.
And Carrie, I understand you also spoke with some business owners who didn't want to go on tape. What did they share overall in their sentiments?
Yeah, that's right. Not everybody was. Some people got a little shy with the recorder. They weren't sure they wanted to have their names on the record. There were a couple who were a lot more skeptical about the redevelopment of the street. But again, that was really a minority of the business owners I spoke with. But they were they're business owners of clothing stores down on Fulton Street. And, one worried about her clientele being unwelcome on the street with the new change. And another said that a lot of her patrons friends are families with kids. And, you know, she worried that without this big open area that had been there before with sculptures and benches for kids to play on and fountains, she's worried that families may be less likely to venture out there and go shopping in her kind of store.
And again, another one of those things, so only time will tell. Carrie Klein, thank you so much for those interviews. I want to turn now to Ezra David Romero and for the final set of conversations with the people involved downtown. And you looked at a lot of the new tensions over the future. One of the big additions in the last decade downtown has been Tioga Sequoia Brewing.
Yeah.
Many cities have seen microbreweries be an economic engine. And about 5 or 6 years ago, Tioga Sequoia set up shop downtown with their new beer garden at the south end of the Fulton Project. You spoke with Michael Cruz. What did he tell you?
Yeah, they set up shop 7 years ago. And Michael Cruz, basically, he's the president of Tioga Sequoia. And if you don't know what Tioga Sequoia is, it's this brewery and beer garden, and they have events and concerts and things like that down there. But he basically said he's super excited about the project, but at the same time, he has some concerns about the types of businesses that will go there in the future. And so in this tape we're going to hear, we shared a beer called the Fulton Mall IPA, Fulton Street IPA, based off of, you know, the new Fulton Street. And this is the tape.
So we're just opened Fulton Street IPA. It is a modern West Coast IPA, softer than its traditional West Coast brother, which is usually hoppy and very sharp and bitter.
So now that we have a little bit of beer,
yeah,
you've been here a while now in downtown, mm-hmm. and you've seen some changes. What do you think about this next leg moving forward?
When we moved downtown in 2010, there really was only a handful of places to go at night, but there really wasn't anything constant. But since then, we've just seen year after year our brand and our business build downtown, and that we're drawing people not only from the north end of town, but all over the valley. Our hope was to kind of start that momentum and hope to be a beacon for some change and some things that are exciting that are happening downtown. You can't be the only one, and Fulton Street is really, we feel, the answer to start to attract more businesses.
So you've been here 7 years. Looking forward, do you have any concerns?
My biggest concern, and I've seen it during the whole development of the street or the construction, is delayed development. People got to take a little bit of risk ahead of time and be some pioneers. I mean, obviously, we feel like we're some too, but other people that maybe don't have that fallback of being a production brewery as well, we're doing both. So in the same property. But we need that because people are going to be interested now. The street's open. All this stuff's supposed to be happening. I want to come down and see what's going on. And if they see a bunch of vacant buildings, they're not going to be as impressed as if there's some stuff going on, even if they see construction or things coming soon.
Any last thoughts?
I would just encourage people to try new things. And whether you've had our beer or not, we're excited to be a brand, a local brand in Fresno. Hopefully you'll give us a try, and hopefully you'll come to downtown Fresno.
Well, let's raise a glass to that.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Again, Michael Cruz with Tioga Sequoia Brewing talking about his thoughts on the future with the project. Downtown residents are also something that city leaders have been talking about increasing for a long time. We heard Terrence Frazier talk about that. Some people are already living on the mall. You spoke with one of them.
Yeah, Jordan Gustafson. She's from Clovis, and she just spent a stint in San Francisco, and then before that, New York City. So when she got a job with Bitwise Industries about a year and a half ago, she wanted to live somewhere that reminded her of these places with tall buildings and busy streets, and you can walk downstairs and get a coffee. And so she saw the vision with the guys from Bitwise that this downtown's going to change, and that she decided to get a place in the Pacific Southwest building, the old Security Bank building, where there's a bunch of lofts in that building. And so she gave me a tour of her place. It's super cute and sort of posh. And here's a tour of her place.
Come on in.
What a beautiful space.
Thank you.
You wouldn't think this would be in Fresno, right?
That's the first thing that everyone says when they walk in. It's been fun being up here, really getting a bird's eye view of the mall construction. Fun in the sense of seeing all the revitalization happen, but they do start working at 6 a.m. every morning.
Everyone has their own vision of what they want downtown to be and what Fulton Street should be. What's your vision for this place? I mean, you're a resident here.
Well, for one, definitely looking forward to having a grocer down here. That's something that's missing. And then there's a lot of ways to connect with the community. For instance, the For Love of Downtown Facebook group, there's constantly people posting of like what's going to happen with like, we need a bagel shop, we need a juice stop. And so I think that we're going to see local, a lot more, hopefully local vendors going in on the mall. We'll see revitalization with like things like Liz at Casa de Tamales kind of reopening and having those things come back alive.
You're living in this community down here. You're seeing it revitalize around you. Do you have any concerns?
I think everyone, you know, is talking about our homeless population that's down here, and that's a concern. You know, there's a lot of great organizations that are working to solve those problems, but you're going to find that in any city, you know, across America. And so I think that ways to thoughtfully think of how to address that and how to improve those conditions, I don't know the solution. I think a lot of people are talking about it, and we aren't sure what the solution is, but I'd love to see the community continue to work together towards that. There's a very successful workforce housing going on in City View across from Bitwise through the Fresno Housing Authority. I'd like to see more of that. As you have market rate housing going in, like where I'm living, I'd like to continue to see other affordable options, and not just affordable housing, but workforce housing, where you have people that want to contribute to the economy downtown still able to live down here.
Affordability is a big concern, and also just a changing culture. Jordan was actually featured in the Fresno Bee earlier this year in an article that generated a lot of controversy about gentrification, about different cultures going into downtown and changing that neighborhood. You spoke with one person who's been critical on this gentrification issue. Tell us what Sandra Celadon said.
Yeah, lifelong Fresno resident Sandra Celadon basically said, you know, she has some major questions about the mall and that, you know, it's sort of replacing people of color there. And she put up a Facebook post talking about that, like, there's events there that draw thousands and thousands of people that are Latino, that are Black, that are Asian, and she feels like the people coming in here might just be all sort of like white hipsters, you know, in some ways. And so I spoke with her, and she had some really great things to say.
Part of my post was really about calling something out that we've seen happen across cities whenever revitalization efforts are occurring or happen, and that is really this influx of typically wealthier people that come into a community that really change the makeup and the culture of a community at the expense of folks that already live there, work there, or play there, and then really kind of have this narrative as if they're the first ones to be there without taking into account the history and the value of the folks that were already there. And I think for me, the festivities around the Fulton Mall, right now Fulton Street, were really were somber, right? I mean, I grew up at the Fulton Mall, right? I grew up living in Kiowa, which is, you know, one of the most southern communities close to the city of Fresno. It's an unincorporated community. And my playground growing up was the Fulton Mall, right? I mean, typical to many other folks that are primarily folks of color, primarily Latinos, right? When you look at who lives in South Fresno, and I'm talking about south of McKinley, we know that about 92% of those folks are people of color. And so when you look at who frequents the Fulton Mall, who are the business owners of the Fulton Mall, you know, I go back to my childhood memories and the fact that, you know, my family spent our weekends at the Fulton Mall, you know, where my parents would just sit and people watch and we would play and, you know, run freely because there was no traffic. And we shopped, you know, at the indoor mall, and we ate at the local restaurants that were typically owned by people of color, immigrants. So when we talk about the Fulton Street and this revitalization effort, we're talking about it as if there was nobody there before. And while I agree that absolutely we need investment, I think that a lot of folks are suffering now because of the fact that they're being priced out, right? Businesses are closing down. Folks can no longer afford to maintain their businesses at the mall. And so I think that's a shame when you're revitalizing an area at the expense of the people that have kept it alive for generations.
A lot of different perspectives today on the Fulton Mall and Fulton Street. That was local activist Sandra Celadon sharing her thoughts about fears of gentrification. You can share your thoughts on our Facebook page. We have a post about the Fulton Street project there. Please chime in with your comments. Again, thanks to Ezra David Romero, Carrie Klein, and Jeffrey Hess for going out and bringing us those voices from Fresno. Looking ahead to the future, an uncertain one, but certainly a lot of changes in store. What it will amount to, we'll have to see. Thanks so much for joining us, Ezra.
No problem. Thanks.